Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining second time around the Kitchen Spoons and Combat Boots podcast. I'm Marcy Caulfield. I'm your Military Once Were State Consultant, and with me today is...
Autumn Cash, your Military and Family Readiness Specialist, and then we have our special guest...
Sergeant Yanny from MTB and the Master Fitness Trainer.
Thank you, Sergeant Yanny, for coming and visiting with us today. So before we get started, I just want to quickly go over for the disclaimer for the information being presented. It briefly highlights that all information shared in this webinar is provided to you as an additional resource for your own personal toolkit, that the content's not the responsibility of the government, the National Guard, or the Vermont Military Family Programs. So today's podcast is talking about New Year's new beginnings, New Year's resolutions. Mm-hmm. And thank you both for joining me here as we have this conversation about what's the history of New Year's traditions, what are some common resolutions that people make, mm-hmm. are they successful, do people tend to have challenges with them, the available resources that are out there to support our military community, as well as giving some tips on how to stick to it and not to give up.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Marcy. And like you had said, we're going to touch upon the history of New Year's resolutions. So they actually started back in ancient times. The Babylonians made promises to their gods at the start of each year. And a lot of times they would return their borrowed objects and pay their debts, is what they said. And then that followed into the Romans and also the medieval era, where the knights would take they called peacock vows at the end of the Christmas season each year to reaffirm their commitment to chivalry. And then it came back to modern day, where the concept, regardless of creed or ancient or religious affiliations, was reflection on self-improvement annually and what people could do to better themselves.
That's really interesting. So that's a long, long time.
It's funny how stuff adapts over the centuries and changes into like kind of what we need for ourselves.
Well, and really interesting where it's like one time a year, let's do this for ourselves.
I know. It should be always, but a lot of people need that extra push and to be like, hey, I'm going to start this year. It's a good start point for the rest of the year to hopefully have a positive, growthful year.
Very cool.
And I know a lot of the things that come with goal setting is hunting the good stuff. So in general, people are predisposed to focus on the negative aspects of life, which is hard because when you're hunting the good stuff, you're looking at what you have accomplished, the positive experiences and the beauty of life. So a lot of people, it's hard for them to take a few moments each day to just acknowledge at least one good thing that happened or that they had done well. So a lot of times you're posed the questions, consider these. So it can be, what is a good thing that is happening or has happened? Do these good things mean to me? What ways can you contribute to other people's good things? And it also helps boost your mood at the end of every night if you're like, oh God, I just want to go to bed because I want this day to be over. So instead of turning into that, you can be like, you know what? I had a really good slice of pizza today. And that could be the only good thing about your day, but it's something. So it helps build positivity and helps you focus on what's right in your world.
You know, that's really true, Autumn, because you ever had one of those days where nothing is going your way, and then you get to the end of the day, and you're like, oh, nothing. And in my mind, maybe I didn't have that awesome piece of pizza, but I'm like, you know what? The day is not over yet, and I can make that happen. Mm-hmm. So maybe I send a feel-good text message to a friend that's like, hey, I'm thinking of you. And they write back, hey, it's long time no see, and we have this great conversation. Mm-hmm. Or watching your favorite television show or a cool movie, doing a dance party, mm-hmm. and then you can be like, all right, something really good happened.
It wasn't the worst day ever. It's all about perception and how you're looking at it. Sometimes you can flip it around and realize maybe it wasn't as bad as you thought. Or that text you send to your friend, that could turn their horrible day into a good day because they didn't expect you to reach out. And they're like, oh, you know what? I have really cool friends.
So in perspective, like thinking about New Year's resolutions, maybe you didn't meet all your goals one day, and then you're like, you have to like think about, okay, let's hunt the good stuff. What did I do? Mm-hmm. Okay, I might have maybe ate 3 slices of pizza, but you know what? I drank water while eating those 3 slices
of pizza. So clearly, it's like I had a salad.
Yes.
Well, and that's what brings us into the goal setting. So positive goal setting is, they say, can be done in 7 steps. So we have step 1, which is define your goals. And this helps you identify and commit to a goal and determine how your personal values can support that goal and help you pursue it. It's pretty much, why am I even motivated to do this goal? What can keep me motivated to want to succeed in this goal? And then step 2, know where you are right now. Like, because sometimes you're already halfway there to achieving the goal, you just haven't put much thought into it. Or maybe it was a goal from last year you put on the back burner. So identify the benefits of achieving this goal and then reflect on some of the obstacles that are in your life right now. Then step 3, decide what you need to develop. So like you had said, yeah, I ate the whole pizza. Oh, sorry, 7 slices. But you also had water. So maybe if your goal is weight loss, one of your steps you're already doing is drinking more water, which is huge to being more healthy. Step 4, make a plan for steady improvement. So this might be, hey, by a week, I want to be drinking 1/2 gallon or 1 gallon water a day. And then step 4, make a plan for steady improvements. And then step 5, pursue regular action. So it's not just about eating healthier or drinking that water. Sometimes you have to maybe go to the gym more. So make sure you make a plan, or once that plan is complete, you develop the strategies to start getting your goal into the working phase and thinking about ways you can help achieve that. Then step 6, you have commit yourself completely. And a lot of times this actually helps when you bring a buddy in. And they can keep you accountable, so accountability buddy. So if you really, really want to achieve a goal and you tell someone about it, they're going to be like, hey, remember that thing we had talked about? How's that going? So it's keeping yourself accountable and making sure you're actually committed. And some people have to write them down. I was listening to, I don't know, probably like some inspirational person. They were saying they put their goals on sticky notes and put it on their mirror in their bathroom. So every morning when they're getting ready, they read their goals. And so it's like bringing, okay, I got to do this. This is going to happen. And then step 7, consistently monitor your progress. This helps you feel good. It's like a to-do list. If you check something off your to-do list, you're like, oh, cool, I'm on a roll. I'm going to check that next thing off. And it helps you make adjustments if it's necessary. Like if something's not working for you, you got to fix it now, or it's just going to kind of demotivate you for the rest of it.
Well, I think that when you're talking about defining your goal, finding that why is really important. You know, you can say, I want to lose 50 pounds, but not actually dig deeper. Why do you want to lose that 50 pounds? Mm-hmm. What's your personal motivation? How are you going to do it? What's your strategy? I can totally see when an individual may be like, oh, I failed today. Well, no, we didn't fail. It just, didn't follow the steps that you thought you would. Give yourself some grace and continue on like you had wanted to.
That's the biggest part about goal setting, is a lot of people don't have a reasonable or realistic expectation to meet the goal. And it's not attainable. They usually make up a goal. They have grandiose ideas of what they want to achieve in a very short amount of time, or maybe a long time. But the methods that they use to get there, or even do it in small segments, they fall off the train. And it's okay to fall off the wagon and get back on. It just means now you've identified whatever it was that got in your way. Maybe you can work around it in the future. But the biggest things that we tell our students at BLC is, when you are making a new goal, have some kind of track to get there that's realistic and attainable.
Very good point.
Well, because like you had said, you got to keep in mind you're not going to be perfect, and you have to be patient with yourself. Mm-hmm. Not everything's going to work for one person that it does the other. And like you said, keeping a plan, like a tracking method. So do you have it in a journal? Did you write out a plan? Did you tell someone? It's just in the benefits and obstacles and motivations. Like maybe they want to lose 50 pounds. Like, Why? Well, do you have grandkids? Do you want to be able to run around and play with your kids? But maybe you're not very good at eating healthy. So it all goes in together, and you got to identify those from the start, because if you hit those roadblocks while you're in the process of it, you get discouraged and you don't want to do it because you're failing. Failing is a part of learning. You have to fail.
Yeah. Well, thank you, everybody.
And then just going over some of the positive goal setting, like why is it important? It's positive. These positive statements are more likely to foster positive behaviors. And you feel good. And it helps you in your overall life and happiness, because if you feel like you're making all these plans and goals and you're never accomplishing them, you feel stagnant. And then you get discouraged and you don't want to do anything, and it can make you depressed. So I think it's really important just to understand being kind to yourself and knowing that people fail, and you don't just have to have goals for the new year. You can have goals throughout the year. And if you have to revisit them every year, that is completely fine. Just figure out, well, why did this fail last year and what can I do differently?
Yeah, so let's talk about some of those topical goals that people tend to mention.
So some of the most common New Year's resolutions we see are losing weight or weight management, being more financially stable, learning new skills, communication, whether it's with work, home,
relationships,
yeah. Or the other one, relationships. Do you want to spend more time with your family, significant other? And then time management, having that balance between work, life, and play, like stuff like that. It's
setting
really
boundaries.
Hard. Setting boundaries. So I think we're going to move into building the healthy habits with Sergeant Yanni right now, and he can kind of help us build into maybe hitting that first losing weight goal.
Yeah, no, it's a good segue from goal setting, building healthy habits, and that's kind of the key word there is building, and it usually takes a progressive time to make that realistic, like we were talking about before. So we start with evaluate your current eating habits. So, Autumn, I think you talked about it before, was try eliminating sugary drinks like sodas or sweet juices. Watch random or bored snacking. This is something that we are all guilty of. We're at home, we're at work, and maybe things are slow or mundane, or you're just plain bored. You might just be at home watching Netflix, and you just ate a whole bowl of popcorn, which isn't the worst snack in the world, but you find that just to keep your brain occupied, you're putting food in your mouth, which isn't always the best course of action. Then you wonder why you're not losing weight. I know I'm guilty of it, but again, we can kind of rely on if we have them available as an accountability buddy. Whether that's your partner saying like, hey, just nicely, you probably shouldn't be eating, it's after 7 p.m. We try not to do that, or whatever your goal is to stop eating before bed.
And key word sounds like nicely.
Yes,
nice,
very nicely.
Gentle reminder.
Like, why are you eating?
Yeah.
Like
no, and it's important because you're going to immediately feel guilt. You know what you're doing, but you might not be consciously thinking about it until someone brings it to your attention.
So true.
Yeah. So, and then adding in some fresh foods, and I've gotten better about this because of my accountability partner, because my original diet, it didn't really consist of much more than protein or steak and carbs, so protein and bread. So adding in those fresh greens and fruits and vegetables is extremely important, and you'll feel better. It's just cleaner, getting away from those greasy foods like we talked about earlier. And then sharing those healthy initiatives with others. So the people I work with, for an example, will tell me their diet plans and their eating habits and what they've kind of done to just their digestion and their overall health, which affects throughout the day the way you interact with others, just your overall mood. And since they've implemented using those veggies and fruits and stuff like that, just more fresh eating makes them feel overall better. And then moving into be fit, be strong, evaluate physical activity. And this works really well if you have, again, an accountability buddy or some kind of idea or program that you want to follow. And it doesn't have to be crazy structured or anything. You can build a workout routine that fits you. What do you want to see? Do you want to lose subcutaneous fat, you want to gain a little bit more muscles or just be more toned. And if you need to, you can consult a healthcare professional before any drastic changes. So if you're going to try to go compete to be a competitive power lifter and you're in your 30s, you might want to go talk to somebody first and see if that's even a viable option. Or maybe it is and there's a safe, progressive way to get there. And again, get others involved, having those accountability buddies or just the motivation to go to the gym. I know personally speaking, I've always worked out pretty well alone, but it is more enjoyable when you find somebody else to go with you. Maybe they're not doing exactly your routine, but just having somebody there motivates you to want to stay and just get through it. Usually the first 15 minutes of a workout is the hardest to get through. Once your endorphins start to peak, you actually are more motivated to stay and you get that kind of pump feeling like, okay, I'm motivated now, I want to do this and finish. I know that the first 8 minutes, and it's different for everybody, but they're usually the most miserable. That moment that you don't want to go to the gym and you're just like the last thing you want to do.
You're putting on your shoes, you're glaring at people on your way in.
Exactly. We've all been there. We have days where we would just rather not, but I'd implore people to just push through the first 10 minutes. And if you're not feeling better, then maybe it's just not a good day. And that's okay, too. I mean, at least you tried and you got something out of it. It doesn't have to be a full-blown, I'm going to meet these expectations I had for myself by bench pressing 100 pounds, or I'm going to run 2 miles. Maybe you only ran one, and that's better than nothing. Playing outside with your kids or pets. So just having more of that family time. A lot of people forget that doing outdoor, just simple chores is good exercise. Like I tell Autumn all the time, like I would rather go to like go split wood. It needs to be done, one thing, but it's good exercise. Also, what's important here is getting more sleep. And this is something that I really like to hammer home to the students that we get at the Basic Leader course, but also my counterparts and other family members. So one thing that's important is evaluating bedtime rituals. And statistically, it's been proven that if you don't have heavy meals about 3 hours before you plan to go to sleep, you will most likely fall asleep faster because your body doesn't have to work as hard to try to digest what you just put on it. The worst thing you can do is eat a heavy meal right before bed because all your body's going to feel like is, ugh, now I have to do this. And that takes away from the melatonin release in your brain, which is the sleep chemical. Some other bedtime rituals is trying to keep caffeine out of your system probably halfway through the day up until bedtime. The standard is about 6 hours before bed. Some people have afternoon coffees. But you need to kind of keep an eye out for just those times you're having a really hard time falling asleep. And, well, when was the last time you had caffeine? Did you drink a Monster right before you went to bed? Probably not the best idea. So just things like that, not eating too late, keeping caffeine at a minimum. The other thing that I harp on, I know it works for me, is your brain's going to naturally know it's time to go to sleep when everything is dark. If you constantly have a screen in front of your face, or if you're constantly watching TV right before bed, you might have, and it's dependent on, it varies from person to person, you're gonna have a harder time falling asleep because your brain's not gonna naturally release the melatonin chemical naturally if there's always light in your face. So setting sleep goals, everyone's busy. We all have crazy schedules. So sometimes maybe you're not going to bed at the same time. But it's another way to train your brain and train your body if you try to go to bed at the same time, whether that's 9:30 or 8 o'clock or whatever works best for your work family schedule. The more you do that and build that habit, and it takes approximately, we were looking it up just a couple of days ago, actually, 21 days to 3 months or 6 months?
It starts, a lot of people are the 21 to 30 day mark is when it starts building, but some people can take months to build a habit or break a habit. It depends on how long you've been doing it for.
Exactly, and you nailed it there with breaking habits as well. So if you're trying to cut alcohol out of your system or quit a habit like smoking, or just any other habit, it takes roughly about a month per individual, depending on how ingrained that habit is, but it's the same way for you to build a healthy habit. So another one with sleep is evaluate consumption of caffeine. Well, we already talked about that, but sugar, same difference. It hypes you up, it gets your brain excited, so you're less likely to fall asleep. And consult a healthcare provider regarding any other concerns you have. One thing I will hit on is if you do drink alcohol at night and then you go to bed, you might think, well, I passed out and I didn't wake up until this morning. Well, then sometimes you feel hungover or fuzzy or foggy. And what really happens on a chemical level is your brain never actually got the rest it needed. Your body might have because, sure, you went to sleep pretty quickly because you had drank a couple of drinks. But that fog feeling you're feeling in the morning is obviously a hangover. But what it also is your brain has two sleep cycles. It's non-REM sleep, which is sleep your body needs to rest, recover, and heal. And then REM sleep, or rapid eye movement, is the sleep that your brain needs. And that happens later in the night. So before your body even gets to REM sleep, it needs to process out that alcohol that you just consumed because your body doesn't have a use for it. It needs to burn it up and get rid of it. So what you've essentially done is you've paused the fat burn effect that you would normally get for sleep because your body was busy burning up alcohol. You also never hit REM sleep because your brain, that's why you feel that foggy, your brain never got rest and recovery. So just a consideration if you do consume alcohol before bed. And then just quitting bad habits, it could include smoking, drinking, poor eating, or other unhealthy habits. But again, the average is usually around a month. Depending on how long you've been doing that habit, it could take longer. But if you do have a hard time with food consumption, you should try utilizing a food journal or a fitness app. I'd probably like to do that eventually with myself. I mean, I'm not really technologically savvy, but I have a phone on me at all times. I should just have something in there and start toting around a book or something like that. But it's good to get in that habit. Something we did at Master Fitness Trainer School was before we were actually in the course, they had us track our diet for 2 weeks, and it covered everything. It covered your sleep schedule, how many hours of sleep, how much interrupted sleep did you get, what did you put in your body as far as, they broke it down as far as macronutrients, micronutrients, water intake. They covered some other portions as far as like supplements and things of that nature, just to really track what you put in your body. And it is tedious at first, but again, you build that habit, it becomes second nature and you won't really even think about it.
That is so interesting. Like, you just to break it down, there's so many integral pieces when it comes to building habits or taking them away.
It's a process, and a lot of people after a week or two, they're like, oh, it's not working, or it's not, I missed a day or whatever, I'm just gonna give up. No, like 21 days to 6 months, I think is what they were saying. Because it's different for everyone, but that's a long time, and you just need to be patient, and it will take a few times before some people even will accomplish it.
Yep, exactly. It just takes patience and just not giving up, because you did make progress for however long you were successful in hitting the gym on the days you wanted to hit it, or eat the way you wanted to eat. And it's okay within reason to have what's called cheat days. We've all probably heard of that, as long as it doesn't turn into a cheat week or a cheat month or a cheat year.
Guilty.
Exactly. And it's fine. Like we said before, falling off your goal doesn't mean you can't get back on it and then progress, because your body's not just going to be like, well, you just cheated, so I'm going to just drop 10 or 15 pounds on you because you cheated. That's not how it works. You got to compile all the good days you had against those ones that you did cheat, or you just, maybe you're having a really bad day and you're a little depressed, so you have some pizza or whatever made you feel a little bit better, because you need to take care of yourself at the end of the day. It's just really important to not forget yourself or be too hard on yourself. I think you mentioned that earlier. But with self-improvement, everyone really does always want to be at present in the very best version of themselves. But the best we can do is the best we can do. Some days are going to be better than others, and just putting in even a little bit of effort and trying to be better than you were yesterday, whether that's you learned something new, or you hit a new personal best in the gym, or you just had a better eating habit day than you did before. But just that goes along with self-evaluation, giving yourself the credit and set goals for that personal change. So it does take effort, but try to do it in a reasonable manner. So try to build on those habits. And it varies in degrees for everyone. We'll have little things that you can start out with. You may not be able to go to the gym because you fear everyone looking at you. I know that this doesn't bother me, but it bothers some people I know. They're like, I feel like I'm being monitored and watched all the time. And some people, they are that way. They're just curious, or they just can't help it. Like, wonder why they're lifting like that, or I don't like the way they're dressed, and maybe they should keep their eyes to themselves. I tend to look through people, or just I plug myself in, I listen to my music, and I just go. And usually it takes somebody standing in front of me and waving me down, asking, hey, are you done with this piece of equipment? And then I realize that there are other individuals in the gym and I'm not alone in the world. So just things like that. There are fears, and there are things that you have to work through, but you don't always have to go to a gym. Maybe you can do home workouts or find a different location. But again, having the buddy with you makes it a little bit more comfortable. Mm-hmm. Maybe you're not feeling like you're the only one there. But you try to do it anyway. In no time, you'll just have way more confidence in yourself, and you'll be able to get rid of that fear entirely, and you can move on to the next fear or whatever it is that's blocking your path to success. Living a fearless life gives you confidence that is visible to others. Instead of building walls around yourself, we should be trying to tear those down.
Mm-hmm. And other goals, like you had said, with maybe fitness, is playing with your kids or animals. That can also go into your other goal of spending more family time. So maybe you don't like going to the gym, but going for a walk with your dog, throwing around a ball with your kids, doing stuff like that, will also could hit more than one goal at a time. It can keep you going and be motivated and give you that positive affirmation that I had a good day. I spent time with my kids. I went for a walk. I did all this other stuff. So no, thank you so much for all that great information.
No, you're very welcome.
Yeah, that was fantastic. I was very in tune. I forgot that we were actually recording.
You're just like, oh. Like,
learn something new every day. So another topic that people tend to focus on with a new year is reevaluating their finances. Mm-hmm. That's what finances are, a very tough conversation to be had, especially among couples, because mm-hmm. it's so broad and there are a lot of resources out there to help people make informed decisions, which is very beneficial. But it's a matter of, okay, if finances is going to be your goal, what about the finances? So we kind of like go back to the goal setting process of mm-hmm. why and the motivation. And so some people, their goal of getting their finances on track have to do with holiday spending mm-hmm. the previous months before, and wanting to take care of that debt because they have other bills to take care of, and taking care of holiday spending was not part of the plan come January or February. So getting out of debt, looking on creating an emergency fund. There's a lot of struggle, especially the way the economy is now, where people are struggling, and not either their emergency fund is not where they want to be, or they don't have one at all. Mm-hmm. And then we have those individuals that are planning for the future, whether it's retirement, thinking about if they have children or their own education, how they're going to pay for that, as well as just overall wanting to be in a better financial place.
Well, just like basic budgeting. A lot of times some of those can be cleared up by writing it out. A lot of people have never actually written out all of their monthly expenses, their debts, like monthly income versus what goes out. And that can a lot of times open your eyes to be like, holy crap, I'm spending way too much money on this one thing that I don't need.
Absolutely. And we're not saying, right, Autumn, we're not saying we want you to break all those bad habits and not do the things that you enjoy.
No.
But it's a matter of, like you said, writing it down. What's coming in? What's going out? Where do you want to shift your focus and make a plan mm-hmm. to meet those goals? For some people, they may be like, you know what? I'm all set for the future. I don't have any kids. And yeah, we have some holiday debt, but it'll be taken care of in the next couple of months. But so then you could start thinking about, okay, thinking about taking a really nice vacation somewhere mm-hmm. or holiday spending for the following
pre-plan,
year.
So you don't pre-plan. Have the debt for next year.
Yeah, and just like make some financial goals so that way you don't feel like you're living paycheck to paycheck. Or maybe you want to boost that TSP up or something along the way.
So you can retire on an island and be happy and tan.
Exactly. So the nice thing about our military community is that there are some really great resources out there. Megan Sather, our personal financial counselor, we have at the Family Programs Office, can meet with individuals for free. As well as Military OneSource offers indefinite sessions for financial counseling. So individuals can meet with a financial counselor, whether it is telephonic, video, or instant messaging. And that's also a free resource for those that are currently serving. And there's a lot of community resources out there as well as educational opportunities. Mm-hmm. The Kitchen Spoons and Combat Boots team offers financial webinars throughout the year on different topics that could be resourceful. Community partners have awesome workshops out there for individuals. Military OneSource does webinars and training sessions on different topics, as well as for those independent individuals. There is the financial calculators that are on the Military OneSource website, www.militaryonesource.mil. That's a plug and play option. So if you have a goal, let's say you're looking to buy a house or planning a vacation, plug in those numbers and see how long will it take to meet the goal based on what you think you can set aside on your budget sheet.
Oh, that's awesome.
It is really cool. And you can print it out and have automatic updates sent to you to see if you're on track.
Oh, wow.
So there's a lot of great resources out there, but it's a matter of finding the why, your purpose, and the motivation if you want to get your finances in a different situation than what they are currently are. And so that...
Well, it can be so broad. Finances are huge broad. So if you don't narrow it down, you get overwhelmed because you're like, well, I need to do this. And well, yeah, I should probably look at that for finances. So like you said, what are your key points? Like, what do you need to fix about finances?
Exactly. And the thing is about finances, your financial situation today is going to be different in 6 months or a year mm-hmm. or 3 years.
And you never know what's going to happen.
Exactly.
Emergencies, maybe your car breaks down, maybe you get a different job, maybe you have a kid.
Exactly. Another goal for New Year's resolutions that people tend to make for themselves is about communication, overall communication, the dynamics, family relationships. I mean, oftentimes there are people in our lives that may be challenging at times. Mm-hmm. And we are put in a position where we need to work with them or be with them, spend time with them. And so individuals may feel like, okay, what can I do to set boundaries to better myself so that way this can be a better effective communication?
I think the biggest thing that stands out to me with communication, especially nowadays, is phones. It's not face-to-face anymore. You're on your phone. Or even when you are home with your family, significant other, whoever it is, sometimes they may be scrolling on their phone while you're trying to talk to them. And that kind of turns you off and shuts the whole conversation down because you feel like they're not taking you seriously, they're not giving you the attention you deserve. So I think it's important with whether it's your significant other, your kids, whatever, make sure you have time during the day as a family where you're disconnected. There's no screen time. So you can talk about, hey, how was your day? What's going on with you? How have you been feeling? Are you okay? And you're actually forcing each other to be in the moment versus having that barrier of the screen between you.
Great idea. I also think about the relationships that are external to the family. Oftentimes you have to, I would say, set boundaries and be like, this is the limit and the time that I can give you for us to be together.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know about you guys, but at holiday times, I tend to interact with people that I probably only see the one time of year.
The family
choice.
Members. So they're trying to take, like, holiday parties are a good example. When you're trying to make your rounds and you have your great aunt whatever her name is, and she's been talking to you 40 minutes about her cat, which you love it, and you want to spend the time with her and yes. catch up and talk about her cats. But you're also looking at all these other people that you haven't talked to, and you're like, yeah, you're like, I gotta thank you, I'm sorry too, and you're like, make an escape. So it's important to be patient. People understand a lot of people have stuff going on, and they might not always have the time. So just be like, hey, do you have a minute to talk? I'd love to catch up. Maybe they don't at that moment, and be like, oh yeah, can I come back in like 15 minutes? I'm supposed to be over here. So I think it is important, like you said, to schedule out. Like, I don't have time now, but I can have time later, and we can talk all you want about your cats and their sweaters and their toys.
That is exactly it. And I think of especially that great aunt, whatever her name is. I think about like, how could I be a better communicator and give her the space she needs without having to be actively communicating? And so I'm like, yeah, maybe I'll write her a letter or send her an thinking of you card halfway through the year, so that the next time we see each other, it may not be that lengthy conversation.
Letters is a great idea, because I know I used to be my grandmother's pen pal, and the issue was she's very hard of hearing. So I can't just call her and talk to her, because she's like, huh? What? What'd you say? What's going on? Can you hear me? So you do. You once a week or twice a month, whatever, I would send her a letter, and it would be the super long, like, it's sunny out today and it was 26 degrees and there was a squirrel in the porch and randomest things ever. And she loves them. Absolutely loves them. And then I get one in the mail and it's the same thing. Went for a walk around the block today. Went to the doctor's. But you're giving that effort and they're going to remember it.
They are. And if you're giving time, you're giving space. So whether that is your immediate family at home, creating that space, which is probably a little more easier, but you have to be more thoughtful and make because people lives, our kids' after school activities, their schooling, your work, all these different pieces moving. You have to be more intentional creating time, but then also thinking about those other people in your life that that want a little bit of your time too, and then when is that time going to be appropriate or works for everybody?
And it can be overwhelming because you feel like you can't make everyone happy. So you're like, I do very well at home, but then I forget to call my dad or my mom or my brother on a regular basis. So it can be very overwhelming, but most people are very understanding. And if you tell them like, hey, I've been super busy, I'm not trying to ignore you, like it'll be better in the new year. Just be patient with me. Most people understand and they completely get it. So just like you said, be upfront, set those boundaries right off. Like, I love you, but I don't have time.
Now is not a good time.
Exactly.
For our one-on-one. Which actually is kind of like when we talk about time and making it for people, kind of segues right into work and professional relationships. And we want to start off the year on a positive note with the employer, if possible.
Yeah.
So some of the techniques that we've talked, that Autumn and I had talked about previously were about, how do you want to set yourself apart in the workplace? Is this going to be your stellar performing year? Or is this the time of year where you're like, you know what? Last year was really intense and I got all this awesome stuff done and they showed me appreciation. And I think I'm just going to coast a little bit.
Well, because you don't want to burn yourself out, which can happen. You always want to do your best and be the best employee you can be and be motivated, professional, and all this. But if you burn yourself out, you're not going to help yourself on the work side. You're not going to help yourself on the personal side. So I think it's really important to put time for you on your calendar and schedule that time in with your boss, usually in off seasons, like not when you know there's a big event going on, but just having that refresh yourself, having that work-life balance, and just having that good relationship with your supervisor, boss, coworkers to be like, hey, I know we have a slow week. Would you mind if I took some time off? Or if it's super busy, be like, hey, I'm going to put in a couple longer days. So it's very important to have that balance as well.
Something along with that is having a kind of either a sit down, and not necessarily a sit down with your employer, but just that communication that we've seen it before is what happens to a person that's always a 100%er. And you don't want to always coast and be, no one wants to be that person where they're going to do mediocre performance just to stay out from under the radar. And then you have the 100%ers that what we typically see is if you're constantly giving 100% all the time and spending all your time at work and the efforts that go into that, sometimes the employer might take advantage of that and then give you more work and more work because you're mm-hmm. always relied on to get that done. And you, again, like you both talked about, you burn yourself out because you don't think that there should be a break on any of this. So just being able to, if you're starting to feel overwhelmed, you're like, hey, we have other employees here that could share the load. I'm getting kind of burnt out. And just having that open communication can make a huge difference.
It's a very good yes. point. Communication is key in any relationship.
Yeah, and even maybe meeting with your boss on the other end. Say, hey, I know I've been kind of just putting my feelers in starting this new job, but maybe I want to be utilized more. Or maybe I have some strengths and I would like to learn a new part of my job or get a new, what's it called? Additional duty, stuff like that. And
learn a new skill set.
Learning a new skill set. So I think it's important, like you said, just to have that open communication with your boss, whether it be, hey, I need a break, or I would love a new opportunity.
Very good. And then ultimately, let's just say play. As an adult, we do not play. That just, for the most part, has gone away from childhood.
Yeah, what happened to that?
I don't know. It just disappeared. Like, adulting just took place. And do things for yourself. What do you enjoy? And that's really important. If you have found that you have not done anything for yourself in a really long time, make 2023 your year and play. What do you guys do for play?
That's a good question.
I was like, play? I thought, what, that's a word? No, I think it's important with your family, friends, stuff like that. It's fun to do stuff as a group. And if you maybe schedule a family vacation, maybe for a weekend go on a hike with your significant other, or maybe it's talking with your friends and being like, hey, do you want to escape for the weekend and just drive somewhere and listen to the radio and talk about life? Like, sometimes it can be super simple. And
maybe it's going to the movies or something outside of the yeah. house. Like, let's go to a theater.
Change of scenery.
That. Yep.
Change of scenery.
Or especially with wintertime, getting cabin fever. That can be rough, especially a lot more people take time off during the holiday season, but then you're also stuck in the same environment all day, so you can kind of get a little cooped up. So it's important to make everyday activities for you and your family or your significant other like fun. Make it a game. Maybe be like, hey, whoever gets this chore done first can pick the movie or can pick where we're going for dinner, or make it fun.
Well, and it's interesting you bring up about how people take time off at the holidays, because it is true. It's the most common time that people take leave, but oftentimes that leave is because they're rushing around to prepare for the holidays.
Yeah, so it's not really relaxing.
So it's not relaxing, and for those families that have kiddos, the kids don't have school, and then you're trying to entertain them, mm-hmm. and then if you're single out there or a couple, maybe you want to hang out with your friends, but then they have their own personal obligations with their things. And it's a time of not rest.
No. Well, like you had said with the friends, it sucks when you have a smaller friend. Well, I shouldn't say it doesn't suck. It's great when you have a smaller friend group because usually you're a little closer. But when they're busy with family, you're like, I'm boring. Those are the only people I hang out with. So you're like, if they're busy, what am I supposed to do? And then it turns into doing something for yourself. You're like, this is weird. You're like,
time by yourself.
Like, what do I, it's quiet in here. Like, so it can be weird, but I enjoy super weird. I keep saying weird. I'll stop. Going grocery shopping.
Oh.
That's like a mini vacation. I love grocery shopping. Sometimes I do it on my way home, and I'll go into the grocery store, and I leave my phone in the car, and I'm just walking around. I'm like, ooh, I'm like, it's like I'm traveling. I'm in the exotic section. Oh, I'll go over there. Oh, I'm in the seafood section. Like, I love it. I love grocery shopping, and I make it fun.
Do you go up and down every single aisle?
I do go up and down every single aisle.
It's absolutely maddening.
Well, you want to extend your mini vacation a little longer. You're like, it's so quiet in here.
That's her play.
It's so nice.
That's her play. That's yes. awesome. So any of you that enjoy shopping, Autumn has said that you should go worldwide traveling through the food sections.
Yes, they have so many different varieties.
So let's talk really briefly about sticking with it. I know we've kind of touched upon it, mentioned some resources. And ultimately, no matter what you, those of, I say you, not you in front of me, but on the podcast, to decide to do, these are your goals. What mm-hmm. you make of it is what you make of it. And we did say earlier about how even if you have one day or 2 days or even a week where you felt like things just weren't going right, don't give up. Give yourself some grace. Start fresh. Every day is a new day.
Reward yourself. One of the biggest pointers is rewarding yourself, because you are making an active effort in trying, and that is more than some people can say, and you should reward yourself for that.
Some people forget that what makes people happy, which gives you purpose, is the joy of doing. So doing something productive or that's best for you is actually going to make you happy, and that's a good way to stave off depression.
Mm-hmm. Very good point.
And choosing one, not many. Don't put too much on your plate. You're already busy enough. Choose one goal that you want to focus on, and then once you've completed that, or maybe you have to put that one on the back burner because something comes up, you have more. Just stop trying to see the big picture and try to get a little bit tunnel vision when it comes to goal setting, because you want to focus your energy on this, on that one thing, that one goal at that time, and it helps you set direction.
Very good. Yeah, because making small goals is much easier to attain. Small realistic goals yeah. are much to easier to attain
yep.
in support of the much bigger
the big goal. Because like I said, it's like a little to-do list. You're like, oh, I did this one small goal, like a super easy one, check. So you're like, I'm on a roll, and it's kind of satisfying to do that like check mark on your to-do list. So that might be something. And then, well, based on that checklist, put your goal in writing. Have something visible that you can see, that you it's not in your head, that you can, I don't know, just stick yeah. to it, put it on your mirror, put it on your desk, and you can see it regularly, and you're more likely to hold yourself accountable to it.
And share it with somebody. You know, we talked about accountability party.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's important to have your own personal cheerleader or five, so you can be like, yay, look what I did, and they can all be like, nice job!
Yeah. We all need those. We all need those people in your life. Even if it's like you barely did it, they're like, nah, no worry about that little guy that you messed up. No one knows. No, you're fine.
You're awesome.
And you're like, okay, thank you.
Because well, we are our own worst critiquer.
Right? Absolutely. You are your worst enemy when it comes to goals and trying to accomplish them. But like you said, Autumn, when you make the goal, like put it on paper or have some kind of a list, you've essentially made it real. Because if it's stuck mm-hmm. in your head, you have all the excuses in the world. Oh, I forgot. Or, oh, I'll get to it. Because it's not physically in front of you and you don't get reminded.
Or like Marcia said, the accountability. But they're I know my friends are going to be like, hey, remember the thing you told me you were going to do that you're not doing? And be like, fine.
Yep. I get one of those. They're like, you know I love you. However.
You're like, great. I don't think I was ready for this.
Well, this was a fantastic conversation. Thank you both for being here, especially you, Sergeant Annie.
Oh,
we appreciate your time. Learned a lot.
Mm.
Well, this concludes today's podcast. Thank you both. It was very eye-opening. Sergeant Annie, awesome special guest. Thank you for your time.
You're very welcome.
And this is the second time around podcast series conclusion of New Year, New Beginnings. Bye!
Bye! Bye.